1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 29. We'll start there. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that when midday was passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was neither voice or any to answer, nor any that would regarded. That passage of scripture, it never ceases to amaze me this, that the Bible is just giving the account of what's going on. These false prophets are leaping on the altar. They're trying to call down fire. They're trying to burn up a sacrifice without any matches, without any fire. And so they try to call it down. And as they do, the Bible says there was nobody that answered, but even more so, there was nobody that cared. My, how Brother Jeremy was talking this morning about it's good to be a Christian. It's amazing that I have somebody who cares about all of my problems in my life. The other day, a young person asked me, Brother Luke, do you really think that God cares about a football game? I said, no, I don't think God cares about a football game, but I said, God cares about your football game. It's true. He cares about his children. And here, these lost people, there was nobody that cared or regarded, and how somebody could lose a loved one or whatever and not know Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. And he poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, the Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, here we go, this is it. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Amen. I love this passage of scripture. I've preached out of it many, many times. Today, we're just going to look at some simple thoughts. There's a whole lot in here, and there's probably some people in that can preach on this passage and get a whole lot more. But for me, just simple Christianity helps me the most. Amen. It's amazing to me how there's some people that can dig deep, but they come up dry. I prefer just to go ahead and just give you what I got. Hope for the best, you know. And here in this passage of scripture, we see, prior to what we just read, Elijah came down to the people and he said, hey, how long halt you between 2 opinions? You know what is right, and you know what the world is telling you. That's what he was saying to them. And I'm not trying to change the Bible, but that was the decision that was brought to them. Because you notice, it says that the hearts of God's people were turned back to him. You know, we get all stirred up and mad about the world and what the world is doing. And can I tell you something? The world is just being the world. Did you know that? And as Christians, we get mad at the world being the world, but you know what? They're just doing what they're good at. The problem is that God's people are not doing what we're good at. Hey, you can't blame the world for acting like the world. Hey, you come to our church right now. Hey, most of our people in our church, they're what we would call blended families, this and that, whatever, as far as they got his kids hurt. And you know what? I love it. I love it that we got people that are coming into our church. And man, it's amazing. You say, well, hey, I can tell you this right now. I love the fact that, hey, I get to help those kind of, you know what? That's just the day we live in. Did you know that those people, they didn't know Jesus Christ? Hey, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know that God could help their families and their home. They didn't understand all of that. But now that they're in church, they're in a place where, hey, they know the Lord now, and they know that God can help them, and they know the Lord will help them through their troubles and their trials. And man, what an amazing day it was and is for all those people when they start to realize what God can do for them. The world acts like the world. The problem, the reason that we got so much of the world in our country today is because we got so few Christians that act like Christians ought to act.
Right. Amen.
I can find you a worldly person, but I'd have to stand in Walmart for 3 days sometimes to find me a Christian.
Right.
And God, and the man of God came to me and said, just how long are you going to stand here and listen to what the world's been telling you when you know you got a God in heaven? Hey, when you know you got a God who you are His chosen people, how long are you going to listen to what the world has to tell you? And then he comes to them, he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this decision today. And some of us, we just need to come to that point in our life where we say, I'm going to make this decision today. I'm going to settle it. I'm going to get it done. And he comes before them and he throws down the gauntlet and he says, here, we're going to have a sacrifice. You guys pray to your gods. I'm going to pray to my God. We're going to see who answers today. We're going to see who the real God is today. I love it how here he begins to kind of make fun of him. Maybe he's gone on a journey and all this different kind of thing. But then the Bible says, and Elijah said to all the people, come near unto me. I love this. Elijah, he wanted the people to be close. You know, that's what I love it. Whenever God's doing something, I want to be right there. We don't just say, hey, don't miss a service. You never know what God's going to do because we're trying to put a guilt trip on you to come back to church. But we want you to be close to the place where God can do some work. It's not about a guilt trip. Hey, you know what? If I guilt trip people, they're only going to serve God as long as I can guilt trip somebody. But when you see God work, that's when it changes lives. And in this story right here, he says, I want you to come close. That's why we're going to be faithful. That's why we're going to be faithful to church this week. You say, Brother Luke, I've already heard you preach for 5 minutes. I already don't really care for your accent or where you're from or really what you're saying. Hey, I'm sorry. Just be faithful because this is where God works.
Amen.
You don't have to like me, but you can like His word.
Amen.
God put out a statement before all these people when they came close to the place where God was going to work. He says, come near to me. I want to show you something. I want to show you what God's doing. And all the people came near. And notice this. The Bible says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The first thing that Elijah did, hey, it was an amazing miracle. I talked to the young people this morning about how that you don't just read your Bible one morning and then you're a super Christian. But it takes 6 months, a year, and then you look back and you say, wow, man, look at where I've grown. Look at what God's done. I'm glad that Elijah put in the time before he stood up before the people. There's a whole other sermon in that. When he stood up before him, he said, I'm the only one left. I know there were some that were serving God, but they weren't standing with Elijah. He says, I'm the only one standing up here. We're all going to make a big decision here. But I'm glad that he put in the time before he stood before the people because it made him genuine. It made him real. There's some of us that just, we look the Christian on the outside, but we're not genuine. When the pressure comes, we fold like a cheap suit. But I know this is Sunday morning, man, I just got all, that's why a preacher ought to preach with notes. That way he doesn't get distracted by all this stuff by the Holy Spirit, you know, just preach with some notes. That'd be a helpful thing. But you know what? This morning, when I think about this passage of scripture, here it is. He just got ready. The first thing he did, he says, God wants to send fire down and consume this altar and this sacrifice. God wants to prove that He is God. Guess what? That ain't changed. All these thousands of years later, it is still established with God and with all eternity that He is God. But He would love to establish the fact in some of our hearts this week that He is God, not just of the universe, but He's my God. Hey, and he belongs to me and I belong to him and he is my God. And before that can happen, can I tell you today, we better just get prepared. Better get yourself ready for God to do something. The Bible says that he repaired the altar that was broken down. What did he do? I don't see your theme up there. I forget what it is, but going forward by going back, I think is what it is. Guess what? He went back and fixed what was broken before he got there. He repaired what was broken down. We run Triple S Christian Ranch there, our camp, and it's amazing to me how we'll turn everything off and no one touches it for 9 months. And then we'll come back in and it's amazing how many toilets need to be repaired, how many sinks are leaking, how many things. And I'm like, how do things go wrong when no one is there? And that's exactly what is wrong. No one is there. The altar of the Lord was broken down. I don't think because somebody came and got a sledgehammer and tore it apart. Maybe they did. But most of the time, the altar of the Lord gets broken down just because there's no one there to take care of it. There's no one there to maintain it. There's no one around. And just a little bit of neglect will go a long ways in breaking down some things in our lives. And I'm just saying today that some of us that have been in church for a long time, hey, by the way, this is God's people. He's not trying to change the hearts of the world. He knew that was soon to follow if he just got God's people in line and where God's people needed to be. And listen, it was God's people that should have taken care of that. And it was God's people that should have worshiped there. It was God's people that should have walked up there and took time out of their schedule to make sure that it was maintained, but it was God's people that failed to do their job, and so therefore they're in the mess that they're in. And I'm just saying today that God's people got to get back on the wagon of fixing what is broken and living the way God wants us to live. I know this is old time preaching, but listen, if we want to have the life that we used to have an old time ago, we got to live the old time way. And I'm telling you, this new way of living does not work. It gets you what we have today. And get you what we have today. And you look around, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of altars that are broken down that need to be fixed. And the only way they get fixed is if God's people care enough about it to put in the time to fix it. That's the only way. He just got himself ready. I truly believe that God would not have sent fire if he'd have just thrown the bullock on the broken altar. You think about this. We're just shotgunning this morning, okay? Think about this. The Bible says when he prayed, remember his prayer that he said? He says, I've done all these things at thy word. In other words, he fixed the altar because God told him to. He cut the bullock in pieces because God told him to. He called the people near to him. The Bible says all things. All things. That's what he says. I've done these things. Hey, I've done these things at thy word. Everything I did, God, was because you told me to do it. Did you know you cannot go wrong when you just do it the way God tells you to do it? You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I don't know, man. This is 2021. Man, look, this is that. Hey, you can excuse away all you want to for not doing it God's way. But I'll tell you this. I've never, ever tried it God's way that when I look back, I said, well, that didn't work. Never have. The only time success is used in the Bible was referring to God's word. In other words, God's word is so valuable, it's so important that if you want to be successful and if you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to have revival, if you want to get your heart turned back to him, if you want to fix what's broken in this country, if you want to fix what's broken in your home, if you want to fix what's broken in your children, parents, hey, it's just you get back to living and raising your family and living the way God wants you to live, living according to the word of God, and all of a sudden you'll start finding this corner of the altar will get fixed. And then next thing you know, you'll find that this corner of the altar gets fixed. And then next thing you know, your family and your home and your life and your walk with God is prepared for fire to fall from heaven. And you'll see revival. But it doesn't just come just because you decide you need it. It comes when you get to work. Amen. Good. I think every one of us here have decided we need it or else we wouldn't be here today. But we've got to live God's way. He says, I've done these according to thy word. He prepared for fire. He got the conditions right. Conditions right. Preacher, he poured water on the altar. But that's what God wanted him to do. It's funny because my son's playing football and I'm helping coach what little bit I'm there. And they played last weekend against a team. They got the brakes beat off of them. I'm telling you what, it's a rough game. And then yesterday they got beat by one touchdown. It was a fun game. We had a good time or whatever. And it's funny listening to the conversations that the boys have in the huddles, because the boys will be talking about, and I'm not talking about dirty or wicked things, but just maybe a movie that they watched or this or that. And they go to Chet and they're like, hey, have you ever seen such and such? He's like, no, I've never seen that. Hey, do you go to such and such? No, I never have. You know, and honestly, he's at the point in his life where he doesn't even understand what all that stuff is. And guess what? You got a daddy sitting in the background who's just as proud as a peacock. And my kid's never seen any of that trash. I'm not saying that he won't, and I'm not saying that our home is perfect. Please understand me this morning. You're looking at the biggest problem holding revival up in this church right now. But what I can say is this. There's a few areas of my life I've done it God's way. And boy, sitting there as a dad behind that huddle when all them boys are talking, it just made me proud as can be to think, he's never had to worry about that trash in my home. Because that's God's way. That's God's way. You say, preacher, that may be extreme, that may be out there, but you know what? I don't mind to raise my kid extreme, because I'm not raising my kid to not go to jail. I'm raising my kids to serve God. We tell people in sports all the time, don't play not to lose, you play to win. And as parents and as Christians, a lot of us, the reason we lack revival is because we're playing not to lose instead of playing to win. It's the wrong attitude. He got prepared. He got ready. He got the conditions right. I was about 16 years old. My dad told me to go burn a brush pile. Best way to burn a brush pile, I would not recommend this, but I usually would use a little bit of gas. But, you know, safety first. I don't do that anymore, by the way. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there. But safety first, I said, I'm going to go pour it on the brush pile, and I'm going to run a little line out here about, I don't know, 30 feet or 40 feet away from the pile. And I got gas all over me, so my buddy Cody was there. I was like, hey, just throw a match in that thing right there. It'll run right down there, and it'll go into the fire. It'll be on fire, and it'll be great. Well, apparently he didn't hear what I said, or I didn't communicate clearly. And I turned around to set the gas can down. I turned around and looked, and he was standing up there by the fire. And before I could say no, he struck that match. And when he did, all I could see was from about right here up. Everything else was in flames. And I was like, run, Cody, run, you know what? And then I'm like, no, stop, drop, and roll. I didn't know what to say, you know? And he's running around, and he's got the box of matches. He's got the box of match right here in his hand. He runs out there, and we're all standing there, and we're looking around. His arm hair was all burnt off of his arms, you know, or singed, you know, and all curled up and everything. And we realized that he was alive, and so then we started laughing, and I'm laughing and laughing. He's like, what is so funny? And I look, and the match did not even light that was in his hand. It literally just sparked. And it lit all of that on fire. Now, there was too much gas involved in that situation. But you know, when I thought about any gas was too much involved in that situation. But when I thought about, it doesn't take much. When our hearts are prepared and when we're willing, it doesn't take much. That's why I know there's hope, even though I may be the one preaching this meeting. It doesn't take a whole lot. When we get the conditions right in our life. Are you prepared for revival this week? See, that's the question. Are you willing to let God do a work in your life? They took and they fixed what was broken. They got ready for fire. They got themselves ready. He formed the sacrifice. He did all of that at God's word. He did it how God asked him to do it. And then it was time for somebody else to get involved. The The Bible says that Elijah looked at him and he said, all right, boys, everything's ready. Got the wood in order, got the bullet cut up, got the altar fixed. It's all ready to go. He looked at one of them and he said, I need some water. Actually, I need 4 barrels of water. Now, let's think about this here. Can somebody tell me what's going on weather-wise right now? No water. I know this is just a simple thought. But he looked at somebody and pointed at them. I don't know who it was. I don't know what their water situation was at their home. I don't know what their animals needed. I don't know what their children needed. I don't know what their home needed. But he looked at somebody and he said, hey, go get me 4 barrels of water. Now, there was some old boy standing there who was just crazy enough to do it. Now, in my mind, I imagine him walking down the hill and his wife is grabbing him by the arm like, that's our last barrel. You realize you pour this out, we don't have any left. Now, just bear with me here this morning. Those barrels were personal to somebody because they were all fired up important. You ever thought about that? I mean, they were to whoever it was that was going down the hill to get the water from wherever the water was and whatever home it was coming out of and whatever place it was to somebody. It's a big deal. And the man of God looked at him and said, bring me 4 barrels of water. So reluctantly, somebody somewhere said, okay. And they went and they found 4 barrels of water and they brought the 4 barrels of water up there. And I could imagine the looks he's getting from people in the crowd who are just saying, have you lost your mind, as he goes there. And the man of God says, okay, just up in those barrels right here on top of this sacrifice. And he's sitting there and he's like, well, I'm already committed. I went and got the barrels. And so now I've got them up here. I've got to listen to the man of God. And so he turns them out and he turns out 4 barrels of water. Water's just running on the ground and his wife and kids are looking at him like, my dad just whipped my in for spilling my cup of water at breakfast yesterday, and now he's pouring it out on the ground. What is going on? They're looking at him like he's crazy, and about the time he sets the 4th barrel down, he's wiping his head and he's saying, whoo, man, I'm glad that's over with. God looks at him and says, do it a second time. Now here's where I'd be, okay? But God, I already did what no one else on this mountaintop would do. I mean, is that not enough? God says, I want more. And God says, go do it again. They went, man, this time he's really getting looks from his wife. Like, what are you doing? You've lost your mind. And he comes back with 4 barrels. About the time he gets them done, he's thinking, I've got to scurry away from this altar as fast as possible. I don't want him to catch me again. Man, by the time he stands up and turns around, the man of God looks at him and says, hey, I need some more. But God, I've already given you so much. Am I the only one thinking this morning? God, I've already given you 8 barrels of water. But I didn't have those barrels of water to give. And man, I probably had to borrow. I stole one from my neighbor. He doesn't even know it yet. I've got to get more water. You're wanting 4 more here. And he says, yes, go get 4 more. And he goes down the hill and he gets it. And then the Bible says they filled up the trough as well. The ditch that they dug around it. I mean, here's all this water that's just being poured out before the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, people felt that one. Isn't it amazing how God makes his word relevant in the time you live? That's what he was doing. God was making his command and his authority relevant in the day in which they were living. And so here they are, this water's pouring out on the ground. The false prophets are still there. God's people are still there. And they're looking around. They're saying, what's he doing? And they're thinking of those individuals that brought that water. What are they doing? Someone who's truly revived and is listening to the command of God, the world will always look at you. And other Christians will always look at you and they'll wonder, what are you doing? They will. You give how much to that church? You're there at what time on Sunday and you get home on what time Sunday night? You mean you tell other people, you hand out a gospel tract at the drive-thru when you go through and get something? Or is that not embarrassing? The world always looks at you like, what are you doing? Hey. Here's what I love about this. God asked for them to give something that was very valuable to them. And this week, God might ask of you something that is very valuable to you. But let me just encourage you with this thought. It may seem very valuable to you, but I love how just a few hours later, he said, hey, go. Why don't you go look over there and just tell me what the weather looks like. Remember that? Well, there's this little bitty old cloud over. Not amount to much. He said, you better hurry up and get yourself down this mountain and get back home and prepare yourself for rain. Here's the truth. What is difficult to give when God asks for it? And what is valuable to give when you don't have any more of it? When you give it to God. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. That water that they thought was so important, and it was at that time, when they gave it to God, they had more than their barrels would ever hold. See, that's what we're looking for in revival. And this week, there'll be some preaching. There'll be some, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. All I know is what I'm preaching on this morning. That's it. I don't know what I'll preach on tonight. But I know this, that this week, the Lord is going to ask you of some things, for some things. The Lord is expecting some things. And you know what? It might be real valuable to you. It might be something that you say, hey, this is precious. This is important. But can I tell you, there's never been a time that I've given to God and wished I hadn't have given to God. And there's never been a time because, listen, that's what's holding up revival. I believe that if those people would have said, no way, no how, their hearts would have never been turned back to God. But because when the man of God just looked at him and said, here's what the Lord wants me to do. Hey, are you with me? And they just went down there and they found what was valuable, what was precious, what was important, and they brought it out and they poured it out before the Lord. And they said, that may have hurt, but I'm willing to hurt because I want God's blessing, because I want God's help, because I want to be revived, because I need God in my life more than I need that water, more than I need what is important to me, more than I need a bank account, more than I need a home, more than I need anything. I need God. And I'll tell you, when you get to that point in your life, we will have revival when God's people just say, I'm done with all the worldly things. I just need Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I just need him. So the question this morning is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? A lot of our Christianity is not determined by God, what God wants to do, because he wants to do a whole lot. A lot of our Christianity is determined by what we're willing to let God do. And I believe some of you this morning maybe have something in your life already that God's been speaking to you about. And some of us today just need to get our old barrels, come down here to an old-fashioned altar, just like they did, just pour it out before the Lord. Take him at his word. Say, God, there's nothing in my life that's more important than your word and what you want me to do. Why? So that we can hear those words in this church, the Lord, you're God. And I don't just say that with my mouth. I live that with my life. You are King. You are God. Do you need him today? I do. If you need him, why don't you bring what's valuable to you and just give it to the Lord.